If you like to have singing, it's a good day to be here. And it's just a good day today, man. And family makes it a good day. And look at our family this morning. Look at our family this morning. Amen. Well, pastors have something that probably a lot of them have in common. They collect Bibles. And I happened to bring one out this morning with me. How many of you remember the family Bible? My father and stepmother gave this to my family, and there's a few things that I got tickled at when I opened it and read it. I had a few notes that I'd put in there, but the kids, you know, when it's a family Bible, they get to have some of the use too, and that's what you want them to do. Well, they made sure that if this Bible ever got lost, they wanted to make sure everybody knew where to find this. One of them put in there, Aaron, Annette, Justin, Brianne, and Caleb, or just the Steins, own this family Bible. So just in case you're wondering, it's our Bible. And then another one put in there, if lost, you can call us at 962-3109. Now, don't call that number because you won't get us anymore. But at that time, and there's a little thank you. I'm glad that we had some values in our family. They said thank you if you find it. So then it's got a little happy face there. So I brought my family Bible with me this morning. And it's been used, and it looks a lot like family sometimes. You know, it goes through some things. I ran getting into the service, and laughter is part of family. Thank you for being able to laugh with us this morning and enjoy. But we are really here to honor God this morning. And I want you to know that life is full of many struggles. And I ran some statistics as I was preparing. I've been seeking the Lord over the message, and we're going to get to the message. Let me give you the title so you'll know where we're headed this morning. How does the family of God stay together? How does the family of God stay together? You know, there's a lot of things with families today, and we're seeing evidence that families are having a tough time staying together. That's the thing today. Families need to have something in them that helps them stay together. Let's look at some statistics this morning. I won't read all of these to you, and some of you might not be able to see all of this anyway. Things and facts that we should know about American children today. 1 in 2 will live in a single-parent family at some point in childhood. 1 in 3 is born to unmarried parents. 1 in 4 lives with only one parent. 1 in 8 is born to a teenager mother, and 1 in 25 lives with neither parent. So those are some things. This has been around, and we all understand the impact. And please understand, in no way did I come this morning to condemn those families that have went through divorce, but it is very hard on families. 68.7% of American youth are living in non-traditional families. That means 7 out of 10 are not living in a traditional biblical mother-father, same parent family. 23.3% living only with the biological mother, and then look at the big drop between mothers and fathers. 4.4% living with their biological father today. And these are all some statistics. Let's go on to some others. Children of divorced parents are 7 times more likely to suffer from depression in adult life than people of singular age and background, similar age and background, whose parents have not divorced. Take a look at what an Israel study said, indicated that the loss of a parent through divorce is more likely to cause depression than loss through death. And that says something. Let's look at some behavior things. The second one says 75% of children and adolescents in chemical dependency hospitals are from single-parent families. The next one down at the very bottom, I'll take that one. Every 78 seconds, listen to this, every 78 seconds a teen attempts suicide, and every 90 seconds they succeed. And then this says gang recruitment is a powerful lure for the products of broken homes and single-parent households, as gang members are likely to receive little guidance or attention from family members at home. And I think this is what I want to say. All of us that make up family today, we could take many hours and talk about the struggles that we've all went through, including my family. But I want to leave it with this. Statistics are statistics, but God is the statistic breaker. He breaks all chains, all bondage. John 14:6 needs to be a verse that gets inside our families. Jesus says unto him, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And what I want to do this morning, and no one can get into the kingdom of God except by going through him. I want you to reflect a moment. We have one more video that talks about the family Bible, and then we're going to hear the sermon this morning. But I want you to remember, if you have a family Bible at home, would you get it back out? The family Bible stays visible, and you need those in your home again. Let's listen to the family Bible song.
There's a family Bible on the table. Its pages torn and hard to read. But the family Bible on the table. At the close of day when work was over, and when the evening meal was done, Dad would read to us from the family Bible.
How does the family of God stay together? It takes the Bible. Take yours this morning if you brought your word with you this morning. Go with me to the book of Ephesians, chapter 3. I'm believing God this morning that God is doing something in the heart of family that's here. I believe that the peace of God, the thing that you need most in your family is the word of God. And it's a good thing. We need his word. Ephesians chapter 3, beginning at verse number 14, after you find it, if you would stand out of reverence for God and his house. Verse 14 reads, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, the length, the depth, and the height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Lord, we again come before your presence. We're asking now, Father, that we, as we've opened up the very most important thing of all life, your word. Lord, I ask you today, Father, when there's questions in every heart of family that says, how does the family of God stick together? How does the family of God get through it? Lord, I pray this morning that we would listen with our spiritual ears, that we would allow you to show us things that we've overlooked and help not just one, but the entire family of God this morning to be stronger than we've been in a long time as we take in this place of your word today. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. If I ask this morning an honest question and was looking for someone to stand up in the congregation and say, my family has been able to stay together and make it through all things, not one of us could stand. But if I asked that same question and said, now those families that have held on to the Word of God, went through storm after storm, struggle after struggle, pain after pain, and ask the same question, how many of those individuals are holding on, staying strong, and making it through? The difference would be it was by the Word of God and by the faith in my heart. Sometimes the best family around you can't hold you with enough strength in their arms, can't comfort you and get you out of the deep trouble you might be in. But I want to share some things with you this morning that tells you and I how the family of God stays together. Now, a family that stays together is a strong one, because there's going to be sunshiny days, and there's going to be days the sun doesn't shine. There's going to be times that the groceries are full in the house, and there's going to be times when the groceries are little in the house. There's going to be time when all the family members that come by are cheered up, happy, and excited to be getting together, and there's other times that you're not really interested in getting a family phone call because there's some feuding and fighting and some turmoil and maybe perhaps some bad news. We've all been there. And church, until the Lord comes, there's going to be other things like this that we go through. But it's so important to get a message into a generation that right now, I don't know if you understand this or not, but we have four generations living and walking beside each other in the workplace right now, and it's never happened before. And so we are at an unusual place of time when the generational gaps are closer than ever before, but yet we all need the same thing. How can we stick it out and stay together? Only real, honest, true families of God have that ability. And just because you're a part of the family of God does not exclude you from pain, does not exclude you from worry, does not exclude you from doubt and anxiety. Those things are happening inside God's family, but how do we stay together? I want to give you some foundation this morning. The great thing about family is you gain some roots. You get some stability. And for this morning's sake, I'll refer to them as foundational stones. I want to give you something this morning that lets us understand that we have to know our Father. We have to know Him. One of the sad tragedies of life is many people grow up into adult life and they do not know their own Father. And Jesus had a mission in His spirit that said, I have come that you might know Him. And He wants to introduce Him. So right away, number one thing that needs to happen, how does the family of God stay together? They know the Father. One scripture says, when Jesus was talking about being the good shepherd, none other voice shall they follow. There's a lot of voices today. There's a lot of opinions today. There's a lot of resources today. But do you know the Father's voice? John 14, verse 17 says, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but you know him. Right away, there's a problem between the world and a gap between the world and the family of God. The world does not know the truth. They don't know how the family of God stays together, and therefore they don't know how they're going to stay together. They have not received the truth. And the Bible says the reason they don't know the truth is because they've not even seen him. They've not even seen the message of Calvary. They've not even seen the Word of God in the depth. I'm sure they've seen Bibles. I'm sure they've read a verse or two. But they've not seen it through the Father's way. And then it says, neither knoweth him. But then the Bible says, but you and I know him. If we're his children, we know him. I wanted to give you a foundational stone this morning. How is your family going to stay together? Number one, you got to know the Father God. How do you get to know him? Well, I'm going to reference John chapter 3 this morning. There's a man in the Bible in John chapter 3. His name is Nicodemus. He had some interest in Jesus. At one particular place in the scripture, you can go back and reread on your own, but it is John chapter 3 where I'm reading, gaining this information in the text. Nicodemus came through and was talking to Jesus, and he called him a good teacher. And he said, you have to be sent from God for these miracles that you're doing. No one else can do them. But there was one thing that Nicodemus didn't have yet. He did not know the Father. And so Jesus, realizing that Nicodemus wanted something, on the outside of the word, we have needs. On the inside of God's word, he tells us that he meets our needs. On the outside, when we're struggling, wondering, how can I keep my family together? You need to come back and remember Nicodemus. He was somebody in the community well known. People that saw him walk down the street would probably say, there goes a man that has it all together. But I'm here to tell you that when you follow these kind of people, even if you're one of them that can put on your Sunday best, and when somebody rings your doorbell and comes in and you can play all the parts of having it all together, at night when the lights are out and you're laying your head on your pillow, you and I have to confess together, we don't have it all together. I'm here to tell you this morning, pastors don't have it all together. Pastors' wives don't have it all together. And I'll just come out and join you this morning, the congregational and the people that are here this morning, we don't have it all together this morning. But we can be like Nicodemus, that says, Jesus, I'm recognizing something that comes out of you that's different than the families on the earth. There's times of miracles, Jesus. I've seen that you're a great teacher, and we need to know something. Jesus began to talk to Nicodemus, and he said to Nicodemus, three times, in three different ways, he told Nicodemus this. He said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. What does that mean this morning? I want you to understand, taking a 4.4 percentage and realizing that that number is how many people have grown up with their own biological father and how many fathers are missing, there's a big problem. But Jesus recognized something in Nicodemus' life and said, number one, Nicodemus, you're recognizing God. You're recognizing his power. People will tell you, I believe in God. I believe in the power. I believe in miracles, but they're missing something. It's not just the power and the miracles. It's knowing him as a father. And Jesus knew that Nicodemus wanted something. And he just got right to the heart of the matter, and he told Nicodemus, he said, Nicodemus, except a man be born again, he cannot enter and see the kingdom. He cannot see where the Father is. He cannot see the Father things. And so what Jesus was teaching is one of those family foundational stones of how the family of God stay together. Number one, the family of God knows who the Father is. Not just by name, not just by sermon, but they know Him. They know they have access to Him, that they can call Him Abba Father, that they can crawl up in His spiritual lap this morning. And I'm telling you that you can feel the presence of God's arms around you when you know Him, when you become His child. And so this thing about being born again, think about it. Being born again means you need to get into the right family. We have children that are born into our family. By their birth, they are family members. So what Jesus said is, you're not going to get it by not being born into the family of God. You're not going to get it sitting on the outside. Church, I'm telling you that struggles and the troubles that we're facing today, we're not going to solve them by being outside of the family of God. We must be in His family in order to know who God is. And God is a big God this morning. He knows how to handle all of the tension and stress. Can I have someone say amen to that this morning? So Nicodemus teaches us, number one, you have to know the Father. If that's where you are this morning and you don't know Him, then I encourage you to know Him, because it's a new family. It's not like the types of fathers on the earth. We've seen many mistakes of fathers. We've seen many hurts by fathers. And there's many problems being discussed because of the lack of fathers today. But God does not lack His fatherhood. God does not lack His ability. God does not favor one over another and only restrict certain ones that He loves. He loves us all, just as the verse that Billy read to us this morning, that He is the Father and God of all the families, all in all and in all this morning. Praise His holy name. See, I would love to tell you some things this morning that would just be right on the button and give you some things that would just automatically erase where you're struggling right now. But the best I can give you is get close to the Father, because I don't have all answers, but He is all answers this morning. But I can teach you some things of the Word of God that are foundational stones. And the foundational stones have to be taught to the next generation in order for that generation to succeed. And there's three things after knowing the Father that lets you know that you're part of His family. Because these three things happen with every family member that God has. It's just something that goes on in the process of being a member of God's family. And these are the three things that will be the foundation stones that you can pass on to the next generation. Number one, a foundational stone about how does the family of God stick together? They return. I don't know how many broken families are out there today, but many stay broken because none of the family ever returns to get things worked out. But God's family stays together. That doesn't mean they'll never have fights. That doesn't mean they'll never have disagreements, but when you belong to the family of God, one of the foundational stones that God puts in our foundation is the family returns. Another one, repent. How does the family of God stay together? There's repentance in God's family. Oh, you mean not everybody in God's family is perfect? No, not even one of us are perfect. The Bible says our righteousness is as filthy rags. If we had some perfect member of the family stand up and testify this morning and say, I'm a part of God's family and I've got no faults and no failures, then we would ask them to sit down this morning, because they're not really a member of God's family, because God's family stays together because of repentance. And then here's a third foundational stone this morning. There's a spot in your heart that flips over and begins to have a desire to repay. Now, does that mean that God is going to get out a list and say, every place that I've ever done wrong, I got to go out and correct? No, that's not what the Word is talking about. But there's something that changes on the inside of the heart that says, I am moving from a taker. I am moving from somebody that's looking for someone to always give me something. And God has blessed me to be in His family. And now I'm going to repay what He helps me to have to give. See, God doesn't put your hands empty, and he's not asking you to take all of your goods and get rid of them, but he's asking you to be somebody in his family that will repay at times when he says repay. So the foundational stones, how does the family of God stay together? Number one, you got to know the Father. Number two, God's family returns. See, the good news is Jesus is going to return. God's family stays together because they repent. One scripture says, when you have aught against your brother, you're to leave what you're doing at the altar and go and confess one to another and get it corrected and then come back to the altar. Another one says, pray one for another, confess your sins one to another. Why? Because in God's family, there's a spirit of repentance and we got to keep it alive. And then there's this place of repay. So let's go back. Let's start with returns. Luke chapter 15. The prodigal son. Now listen to this or you'll miss it. The prodigal son grew up in a good home. I know it was a good home because not only did the father take care of the family, but the father took care of the hired hands. There's a place where the prodigal son remembered. You know what he did first? He said, you know, I'm of age. I got this thing by myself now, Dad. I can handle life. You know, kids do that from time to time. I'm ready for the world. You know, I got a few things out of my bedroom. I'm ready. My pocket's got a little bit of money in it. Send me out. Let me go. I'm on my own. So the father said, fine. You know, you are of age. I can't really stand in your way. Go. Do what you think you're going to do. He goes out and he finds himself in the world. Now, remember, what he's doing out in the world, according to Scripture, is not anything that his family taught him to do. These are not the principles. These are not the foundational stones that are shining in his life right now. But he goes out and he tries his hand at the world, and we've all been there. I got to do it my way. I got to try this thing. So he's trying it on. He ends up losing all of his money. He makes some good friends, so he thinks they're good friends. And he finds out that the friends really aren't friends because when the money's gone, the friends are gone. You and I've had some friends like that. When you can't give anything else, the friends go away. And those are not real friends. But the word goes on and teaches us a great thing because you're going to find out that the prodigal son had something. How does God's family stay together? Because there was a good father in this family that taught him right from wrong and taught him the principles of how to live and come back home when things are broken and torn apart. Because at one place he's found himself in the pig pen, literally, eating the slop leftover that the pigs are done eating. Stinking, filthy, dirty, hungry. And all of a sudden, the Bible says he comes to his senses. And you know, I thought there's no way you come to your senses on your own. There had to be a foundational stone lodged in the heart of man that would pull him out of the desperate place he was in. And all of a sudden, he remembers Daddy's house. All of a sudden, he remembers Father's way of living. And the thing that brought him back was he said, I'm thinking of what my dad did for the hired hands. They don't just eat bread, but they got more than enough and leftover bread. Surely I can go back home and I won't even ask to be a child of Dad anymore, but I'll just ask to be like one of the hired hands. But he gets a great reception when he returns. Let me tell you, church, we're in the days when the prodigals must come home. But they might be having some trouble because many of them are out there and they might have not received the principal thing that the prodigal son in Scripture did, which was the foundations of those memory verses, the foundations of those, you know, why we go to church, because not only is it the right thing to do, but God shows up in the presence of his house and we literally feel the presence of God. And even though we're stressed through the week, come and sit in God's house and be blessed and receive something into yourself and go home better by listening to the word of God. The prodigal son had a foundational stone to return. He's the example this morning. Stop running from God. Stop trying to do it every other way. You've already been in the pig pen. You've already been eating the slop of the world. You've already been getting leftovers and hand-me-downs and all those things. It's time to return to the family of God. How does God's family stay together? They know how to return when they messed up. They know how to return when they messed up. And when they do return, we ought to take lessons from the father in the Bible that he just got the best of everything out and said, I had a dead son, but he's alive again. And I'm so excited when somebody repents, and we don't need to beat anybody over the head and say, why'd it take you so long? Where you been? You knew better. And all those things we do to our kids, put it aside and just be glad they came back home through the door. So if you're returning to church this morning, I'm glad you're here. I'm glad you're here. The Lord is glad you're here. So how does the family of God stay together? They return. They know what it is to keep returning. They don't leave and stay gone forever. Oh, we've had a lot of church things happen and people leave. But it's time for people to come home. It's time for the children of God to be children of God and come home. Repent. Do you realize that the Bible is full of God's men and women that had to repent? I mean, these are the ones in the very pages of the Word of God. David in Psalms 51, but before I go there, let me just tell you, the prodigal son also knew what it was. This other thing inside his heart said, when I got back home, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to let my dad know that I was sinning and I needed to repent about from heaven and from my father. That tells me that there was a foundational stone that he knew not only to return, but he had to also repent. So let's talk about repentance. I mean, come on, are you supposed to come to church and never repent anymore? When we come into God's house, we can't even let go of the altar. We can't even let go of the seat. We can't even get away from people looking at us, and we know we need to repent. And if you can't repent in God's house, where can you repent? I mean, you go to the grocery store to buy groceries, right? You go to the gas station to buy gas, right? You're expected to do those things when you're there. There's nothing shameful or wrong when you come to God's house and repent. We have to repent here. We need to be in the altars together, talking about how we blew it through the week, talking about how we messed it up, and just get back to good old-fashioned repentance. David, the Bible says, was a man after God's own heart. That tells me he had a foundational teaching of his parents. He had something that got a hold of him, and he had a desire to be after God's own heart. But did David ever mess up? Oh, he messed up in a big way. Battles were being fought, and he's the Lone Ranger staying back at home. Stands out on top of the rooftop of the king's palace, looks over the wall and sees a pretty woman bathing. And back then they didn't have inside bathing arrangements. They were bathing out into the waters, and he got an eyeful. So much that it caused him to fall. And two great sins in David's life. He became an adulterer and a murderer in the same case. He fell in love with this woman so much that he caused a plan to be devised that he would send the husband of Bathsheba to a battle line knowing that he would be killed. And then he hid it in his heart until Nathan the prophet. Everybody say, thank God for the prophets of God today. Thank God for the pastors that won't let you off the hook. Thank God for the council members that won't let the pastors get away on the side things. Thank God for the prayer warriors of moms and dads and grandparents that say, not in my church, I'm not letting that thing happen. No. And the prophet Nathan came and confronted David and said, what you gonna do about this? And you're the problem, David. David began to learn the best way to repent. If you need to repent, you should write down Psalms 51 and read it. Keep it handy because it's real repentance. God's not looking for somebody to stand up and say, I'm sorry, check it off, and go back and be out in the world again. God's looking for real repentance. Have mercy on me, God. That's repentance. Wash me whiter than snow, God. That's repentance. Lord, I've sinned against you. I've sinned against you. Stop worrying that you got caught in some kind of sin and trying to figure out how to get out of it. Realize you sinned against God and his word. Then he says, God created me a clean heart. See, that verse part right there says David was doing more than just mouth service to the Lord, because he said, not only do I want to be forgiven, but I want a clean heart that I won't go back and do that thing again. Create in me a clean heart, oh God. He also got concerned. Repentance will have a concern in your heart because, number one, if you've ever been a part of God's family, sin will keep you separated from God's presence. I'm going to say that again. If you've been a part of God's family, sin will keep you separated from God's presence. Does that mean you're out of the family? No. That just means you're not having that same intimate relationship where you walk through the living room and the front door, sit down, and just enjoy sitting without saying anything, just enjoying the presence. It means that you're avoiding going to the house of God. It means you're avoiding going to the Word, and you can't get the presence of God outside of His Word. You can't get the presence of God outside of His house. It's not going to happen. God lives and habits and dwells in the praises of His people. You and I are the temple of God. We must be together and worship as a family so that we can remain in the presence of God. David said, I'm concerned. This is how you know you've really repented. I'm concerned. And he said it in Psalms 51. God, don't take your presence from me. That's more punishment than I can handle. But be just. It's okay. I'll take my judgment, whatever you say. But God, don't take your presence from me. We've got too many families. We got too many people growing up in this world today that don't even know the presence of God and don't even know enough to repent and say, God, please don't take your presence from me. I can't handle this life without your presence. This is repentance. When you know that you need Him more than anything else. You know that you need Him more than anything else. God loves His children. And this word has got to be taught to every generation. We cannot get away from knowing the Father. We cannot get away from returning when we've done wrong. Come back home. We cannot get away from repentance. There ought to be repentance in the heart of every child of God. And here in this next one is Luke 19. A man by the name of Zacchaeus. Get this. Luke 19 tells us about a man named Zacchaeus. I believe he was a tax collector. He had something to do in the community with collecting. The Bible was basically letting us know that he was a publican and let us know that he was kind of one of those sinners that were on the streets. He must have wanted to get really close one day and get real good looks at Jesus, because he climbed up in a sycamore tree. And he was just there listening and watching Jesus, and Jesus called him out. He called him down, but he didn't pull him down. I want to say that again. He called him down, but he didn't put him down. Jesus is dealing with a sinner. You don't pull sinners down. You call them down out of what they're going through and get them to the cross. Jesus called him down, but he didn't pull him down. And he said, Zacchaeus! And he said, quickly get down here. I got something I want to do with you today. I want to go to your house. There was a message that happened instantaneously that if you don't understand the family of God, you'll miss it. Something happened in the heart of Zacchaeus just out of the fact that Jesus accepted him. When we have problems in our families and we don't understand why they cut the hair the way they do, why they wear their clothes the way they do, why they keep their bedrooms the way they do, and on the list can go. We need to have a message that Jesus sent to Zacchaeus and just tell him this: I accept you, Zacchaeus. I accept you, son. I accept you, daughter. And the children of today have got to look back at the parents and say, I accept you, mom. I accept you, dad, because parents alike as children have made many mistakes. But when Zacchaeus was accepted by Jesus, it did something great in his heart. Zacchaeus was one of those people that said, all for me, whatever I can get, it's mine. I'll take the world by the tail. I'm going to grab it any way I can. I'm just taught this way. That was something in his heart. But all of a sudden, something changes. Jesus didn't ask him to do a thing. Jesus didn't ask him to do a thing. But just because Jesus took an interest and said, I want to come to your house. I've got a purpose to come to your house. Zacchaeus did the changing. And he said, out of excitement and change, knowing that Jesus came by, wanting a personal relationship with him. That is the message of salvation. A personal relationship. He'll call you out of every dark corner you're in, but he's not going to pull you down. And he's going to say, I want to come to your house. I want to come in your heart. I want to be with you. And on the way to the house, Zacchaeus is just, you know, he's all excited. And you know how children do when they get excited? They just begin to talk and get all things going real good. And Zacchaeus says, you know what? I'm ready to give to the poor now. I'm ready to give to the poor. And then I found it a little bit funny. He's talking to Jesus. Jesus knows the answer to this already. And he says, and by the way, if I've taken anything wrong, he's talking to Jesus. You understand that? Jesus is perfect. Jesus understands. Jesus knows the heart of man. Jesus knew every time Zacchaeus took something wrongfully from somebody else. But Zacchaeus is just excited and happy, and he's like, if I've done anything, if I've taken anybody's money falsely, I'll pay back fourfold. Fourfold. That's not an easy task. That's not an easy task. Because even if you're a rich man like Zacchaeus was, if you pay back fourfold, you got to give more than what you got. So that means he's going to have to work. And he would pay back, but he's so excited, he repays. So what happens? How does God's family stay together? Number one, they got to know who the Father is, listen to his voice, be intimate with him. Then they have to remember to return. If you get lost, remember to come home. If you get away from God, remember to return. If you get away from the praying grandmother and the praying mom and the praying dad, remember to call them up sometime and say, would you pray for me again? I got to come home. Remember to come home. Return. And then repent. Repentance stays in the heart of every one of God's children. This is how God's family stays together. And then the repay comes. Many people wait till the end of their life. Some of them won't receive salvation until they're on their deathbed. By then, they have nothing to repay back for Jesus. They have nothing that Jesus can really use them for. But when Jesus comes into your heart, whether it's sweeping a floor, you can give. You'll have a desire to repay love back somehow. Not mandatory. Jesus didn't ask Zacchaeus to go about and do this. Zacchaeus did this out of his own heart when it changed. When God changes your heart, you'll want to find ways to repay. Well, does that mean penny for penny? No, but it means let your heart start to look for ways to repay. Help out. Be there. If you weren't there for your kids, find a kid that you can be there for. Speak to them. Be there for your church. Be there for your family. Listen and pray. Does that mean you can solve everything? No. But you'll be surprised what listening and praying for somebody will do. Once you turn it over to prayer, it's in God's hands. Once you turn it over to the Lord, it's in his hands. And then that's the place where families just believe. Keep believing, families. Believe, only believe. The thing that causes faith to die is unbelief. The thing that keeps a family alive is believing in the family. So believe in the family of God. We got a long way to go, and it's going to take a family connection to get us on into heaven and into glory. I want to close this morning. Ask for some altar music to be placed. Some of you this morning came with great needs. Came needing a touch from the Lord. Some have decisions they've got to make. Some just need to know this family of God. Be part of it. He'll accept you today. You'll have an elder brother in Jesus. You'll have a heavenly Father. You'll have a Holy Spirit that talks to you and comforts you in the middle of the night. I want you to bow your heads with me this morning. Give the Lord a few minutes of your time. We've had a lot of things going on in the sanctuary today. Give the Lord this moment. I'm just going to put it all together this morning because it's a family service. It's a family thing. If you need to know the Father, I want you to come and stand in the altar. If you need to return home to the Father, I want you to come stand in the altar. If you got anything you need to repent, I'm not going to ask you to confess me your sins. I'm just going to ask you to come and repent. You can do that, you between the Lord. if you're ready to step out in ministry and say, you know what, God's been good to me, changed my life, turned it around, help me, Lord Jesus, to find ways to repay the love that's in my heart to someone else. If that's you, come stand on the altar. If you need a healing, if you've got a decision that you're contemplating and you don't know what to do, the best place to go is in the arms of the Father. You have a church here that believes in prayer. You have a church family here that will do our very best to love you the way God loves you. But I'll just be honest with you, there'll be times, if you become part of this family here, that there will be some disappointments, because from time to time we let each other down. But God will never let you down. God will never let you down. We're not to put all of our trust in man. It's good when people love each other, but the real love comes from God. Is there one this morning that would stand on the altar and say, I just want to be prayed for? I just want to be prayed for. I need something from my Father this morning. Would you come? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. The Bible says He knows even before we ask. I just believe in the family of God. I believe in the family of God. I believe in the Heavenly Father. I believe in Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son. And Father, this is a family situation. Many needs. You're the only one, Father, that can meet all of the needs that needs to be met. We stand in Your presence together as family. Family of God and family of relation. But we talk to our Heavenly Father together. Send the answer, Lord. Send the breakthrough. Relieve the pain. Give Him wisdom. Let Him know that the family of God stays together. He's a part of that. He's going to stay together. We give You praise in Jesus' name. How do I know what to do? You sit in the house with your Heavenly Father until all peace releases you to do what you need to do. When decisions are too much, problems are too big, you just have to sit still in the presence of your Father. The answer goes forth out of the peace. If you don't have peace, keep talking to Him. If you don't have rest, keep talking to Him. Because He's your Heavenly Father. Lord, I bring this need before You. I pray for the release of Your peace to be upon her, that she might know what to do. God, that all fear could be removed, because fear involves torment, but the presence of God involves Your peace, rest, and comfort. That's what I pray over her in the name of Jesus. Name of Jesus, amen. Are there any others this morning? I know the food is waiting downstairs and probably some are getting it ready. But you know what? It wouldn't hurt us to pass the meal by for a few more minutes and let God work. We don't have enough family time. Love your family. And love the family of God, and love God the Father. Let's stand this morning. One of the scriptures that I love so much says, love covers a multitude of sins. And I'm thankful for that love this morning. We'll dismiss in this prayer. I'm also going to pray over the food already. Those of you that are up here, that way when we get downstairs, we can form the lines. Lord, Heavenly Father, you've spoke to us from your word today, and you've given us fatherly advice from your scriptures. Things that will help us the rest of our life to remember, to return, to often repent, and be ready to repay. Bless every family here. Truly bind us together with cords that cannot be broken. That's your love. Love has covered a multitude of sins, and through that love, we're forgiven today. I ask that you would bless the food that we're going to eat together, just remembering how the families used to sit past the potatoes, the bread, the chicken, the meat, whatever it might be, to tell the stories that used to be told around the farm tables, to spend those moments. We're doing that today. We're spending moments with our family of God. Let it be something that becomes a great memory. Let it be something to help us on as we go through this life. We thank you for all the food, all the desserts, and the labor that goes forth into preparing it, presenting it, and cleaning it up. And bring us back together that we might enjoy a good gospel sing at 4 o'clock this afternoon, and let it be to your glory in the name of Jesus. Amen. You may slip downstairs and we'll